This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli. Watch the
green bats tumble. Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Boy, I really love the fact that we have fewer commercials here on USA Prepares. We might be the very first broadcast to reduce the number of commercials. And I want to thank George in engineering at Genesis Communications Network for making that happen. And this is the first day with fewer commercials. So we have 6 minutes more of broadcast time through the efforts that George undertook. Thank you so much, George. I'm delighted to be broadcasting with a dear friend. We've known each other since the early 1970s, like 1971, maybe 72. And I arrived in Chemistry 101 at the lab. It's a huge room, and I didn't know anybody at the university, so I put down my chemistry books at the lab table, and the lab table is two stools, a sink in the middle, and I went to get my glassware, the Florence flask, the beakers, the test tubes, you know, those kinds of things. And I came back, and there she was, the prettiest girl in the university, my lab partner. And we've been friends all these years. Marty Barrett, welcome. Marty?
You hear my voice and don't have to see that I've changed a little bit since those days.
We all have. We all have. We've been dear friends for a very long time. And I know your husband. I've met your children. You've met ours. And we've stayed in touch all these years. And it's a delightful thing to have dear friends like Marty Barrett. So Marty and I attended at the time it was called a top 40 American university. And so, but if we were to weigh our degrees, you know, put them on a scale and weigh them now, I think they would weigh a lot less than they did when we received them in the mid-70s. Would you agree with that, Marty?
Yes, definitely. They have a leader now at our university that's decided to kind of clean up the town a little bit and get a lot of inter-city kids into the school, which maybe would not meet the standards otherwise. And I kind of have a mixed feeling on it because it's kind of like you want to help the atmosphere in the city, but yet to think of kind of dumbing down maybe some of the courses or admission requirements.
All right, so Marty, let me ask you this. If you teach one of the hard sciences, you teach biology.
Yes.
So what would happen if you had a student who really didn't quite understand the material, and you had to, slow down the whole class for that student? Or what do you do?
Well, I kind of already have that, because the institution I teach at has an open-door policy. So you got a pulse, you could get in. And just figure, you're looking at this class with 75 people. You've got people that just got out of high school. You've got people that are in some career that they're not happy about, or they've been a housewife and they're going back to school. I've even had students that have graduated with degrees from Harvard and other places, and they're just kind of, you know, retooling their education. And you got all these people in the same room, and you've got to speak at a level that's appropriate for all of them. So you're looking around, you're seeing some of the 18-year-old kids are there because mom and dad are making them be there. They're serving time. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, rolling their eyes and disinterested. You got to try to draw them in, as well as the returning moms that are so eager and so happy to hear anything you have to tell them. It's difficult to meet everybody's needs. If you dumb it down too much, you lose your bright audience. And you just kind of have to look around and see who's getting it, and some you might not be able to grab.
So, Morty, you teach biology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy science. It really isn't. So when you teach biology, what happens to the people who graduate that come through your training? What do they become? What do they do in life next?
Most of mine are allied health majors. I would say maybe 80% want to be nurses. The other ones want to be sonographers or radiography. Some have high hopes of going on to medical school. Yeah, but I would say 80% nurses.
Okay. If a nurse does not have the understanding of the material that you are teaching in your class, specifically your classes,
mm-hmm.
What could happen?
Well, we talk about one situation in class where you think, we're mostly water. We're 55 to 65% water. But it's got to be in the right places. If you infuse your patient with water instead of saline, you know, they're both clear liquids, your patient would most likely die because your red blood cells, the water pours into your red blood cells and bursts them open, and your kidneys become taxed trying to get rid of all this extra junk all of a sudden. And this would also be the case, I don't know if you remember a contest years ago where they said they'd give a car to the person that drank the most water. And so a nurse called up the show and said, don't do that, not smart. You know, we're not talking about a couple of water bottles. They're kicking back gallons of water. And the person that won the contest died from exactly what I mentioned before, their red blood cells bursting. So if you made that kind of mistake, you could kill your patient with water.
Stunning revelation. Absolutely stunning. And who was running this contest?
Some radio station years ago. So the winner won the car and lost their life. But obviously they didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody
they probably thought it was okay. Yeah, and I got to tell you, Marty and class, I've tried to listen to radio. As a matter of fact, I was coming back in the truck yesterday from running some farm errands. Probably maybe 150, 200 miles in the truck. And I tried to listen to the radio. I can't do it. I cannot listen to the radio. Today, the talk programs are moronic, at least the ones that I've been subject to. The music, you can't even call it music. Marty, when we were in school, elementary, high school, even at the university level, there were songs that had melodies. They were lively. You could actually understand the words.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's repeating the same partial sentences, phrases. It's depressing. You can't sing it. You can't hum it. I mean, and I can't even listen to it. So I feel bad for the young people, but a lot of it's their fault. In my opinion.
Well, so, they're voting for this stuff. They're buying it.
They are. They're voting with their dollars. They're buying with their dollars. And I've heard young people just in the car trying to hum or listen to a song and try to sing with it. It can't be done. It's impossible. It's impossible because the artists, if you want to call them that, they can't even do it without computer-assisted enhancements. They can't.
Oh, yeah.
They right.
Like an auto-tune kind of thing to correct their voice.
Yeah.
And then if they have to sing somewhere, like on TV or live or anything, they often just lip-sync.
Right.
Because they can't really sing like that without thousands of enhancements.
Right. So, Marty, we've got We've got students in your class at the college level who are in biology. Are they prepared when they come in?
For the most part, no. Well, I have some students over the years that I've had where they would have to go back to maybe second grade to start catching up.
Wait a minute.
I'm not even kidding.
Did I hear you right? S-E-C-O...
S-E-C-O-N-D? Yeah. What happens is probably the teacher keeps passing them along. You know, doing subpar level work, but just keeps passing along. And if the parents aren't participating and going into the school saying, you know, why is my child doing so poorly? And they're not doing spelling tests anymore or not as much grammar. You should see the essays I get as far as the grammar usage and spelling. Because if there's no spell check, they're sunk. So those are missing components that you get very early in your elementary school career.
How does that apply to nursing, being able to spell? Is it possible that they could inject the wrong medication because of spelling? Is that possible?
Sure. Or the wrong amount from knowing poor math skills.
Have you heard the term...
When people say that math isn't important, I always talk about the Mars rover that slammed into the surface because somebody did their calculations poorly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that math is important, and math is important in healthcare.
Have you heard the term death by decimal?
Yes.
Do you want to explain that, or do you want me to?
You can go ahead. I've heard of it.
Okay. So, class, the doctor who allegedly understands math says, okay, nurse, I want you to give the patient 1/10 cc of medication X.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse gives 1 cc instead of 1/10. It's 10 times the dosage.
Right.
Could that kill the patient?
Oh, sure. Sure. Even double could kill, you know, you wouldn't even have to go that high to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm. Class, that's called death by decimal or decimal point. You know,
and I had a student this semester that came to me and she said, how do I calculate my average? And I said, you add your four test scores together. And then she said, oh, and divide by 100? And I said, no, you're not going to like that number.
It's college level.
Yeah, there's some math needed. But I think the English is really a bigger problem. Just grammar,
Marty,
and spelling, and how to express yourself.
Marty, when we were applying to college, did you just walk in and say, just want to let y'all know I'm here? Or did you have to take some tests in order to prove that you had enough information, knowledge, recall, and ability to express yourself cogently and clearly that they were willing to consider your application?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what happened?
And the mailbox hoping for the answer.
That's right.
Every day eagerly going to see, did you get in?
Yeah. That's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. When we come back, I'd love to discuss with you, are students prepared for the real world? I'm sure you've been to the graduation ceremonies. So after they're done being trained at the highest level of education, you know, I'm talking about the college and university level, are they ready? Are they ready for the real world? We'll be right back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
The kid what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Pencils. Paper. Notebooks. iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Marty Barrett's with us. She teaches at the college university level, and she teaches biology. So, Marty, are the students prepared? Are they prepared for the real world?
I don't think
when they
so.
Graduate.
And I think what they're missing is not even so much the academics; it's the lifestyle habits. You know, for example, my son is young; he's not even 30 yet. But they hired somebody new in his office, and the first thing he said is, "This guy's on his phone all the time." His pants are hanging down low. Doesn't he know how to act? You know, I mean, even a young person noticed that he was ill-prepared for how to present himself on the job. And kids probably check their phones constantly. I mean, in class, I see everybody glance at their phone every couple of minutes. So they probably go to the job and expect that same thing is okay. And really, most places don't want to see you look at your phone. They want to see you working all the time. So it's more kind of manners and how to act is what they're really missing. But some academics as well.
Marty, I'm sure you have visitors who come to your home. And I'm sure that they take their cell phones out of their pocket and put it on the kitchen table or wherever, whatever room you happen to be in. Does that bother you as much as it bothers me when they keep looking at the phone when they're company in our house?
Well, I have a friend who's not a young person, but whenever I go out to dinner with her, you know, I rarely get out. I'm excited to get out to talk to her, And the first minute she sits down at the table, she goes, oh, wait a minute, I got to check something. She checks in with work. She checks in with her grown adult kids, see how they're doing. And I sit there. And I feel ignored. And I feel it's rude to do that to somebody. It's saying that anything is more important than talking to you.
That's exactly what it. That's exactly right. Anything is more important, and it bothers me. It really bothers me because I've seen nurses with their phones in their scrubs. They pull out their cell phones and they check their cell phones when you know while they're supposed to be with a patient. It's unbelievable. Do you find that students melt down? Where, and I'm talking about they have these emotional breakdowns as compared to when we were in school at the same age. Do you find that they just can't take it? It's too tough and they just literally melt down. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. And it's a shame because every semester I have at least maybe four or five students that that go off to a mental facility for a while. And a lot of it's due to just all the pressures. One of the things is the fact that, you know, when we were young, you could get bullied at school. Now you can get bullied in your house, everywhere you go. And that's really tough on people. And most of the people that I see go into these facilities for treatment are young, pretty girls. You'd think, wow, they must have the world at their fingertips. But they're struggling with this whole scenario we have, trying to be, you know, too perfect and do all this stuff right and maybe try to get into a career that's not their idea of a good time. There's a lot of pressures on people, and some of them cave due to that. And it makes me sad.
Marty, you mentioned that you have about 75 students. I believe that's the number you said in your class. Okay, and if you have four or five of them that end up in institutions, Is that 7%, or we're talking about a fewer percentage? Because that's an enormous percentage.
In my classes overall, I have about 300 students.
Okay. All right. So of 300 students.
Yeah, 1 to 2% or so, you could say.
Yeah. That's still a really high percentage.
And I think it's because of the pressure that's on these people from the internet. You got to be perfect looking. You got to be perfect acting. You got to meet all these criteria. That didn't enter our home before. I didn't feel those kind of pressures when I was growing up.
Now, our pressures were a little different. We had pressures of examinations. We had pressures of we have to do well enough to be allowed to stay there, meaning continue with our studies. Those were our pressures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next question, Marty, is, I've got a couple questions. Can it be fixed? Are teachers quitting? Are they disgusted? And if they are disgusted, what are they disgusted with? I'm talking about at the university level class. We'll be right back.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Attorney General talks about the now former special counsel in the Russia investigation, Robert Mueller. And we get the story from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
He could have reached a decision as to whether it was criminal activity, but he had his reasons for not doing it, which he explained. And I'm not going to, you know, argue about those reasons.
Attorney General William Barr sitting down with CBS News and says the former special counsel, Robert Mueller, could have and should have reached a decision on obstruction in the two-year Russia investigation.
But when he didn't make a decision, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and I felt it was necessary for us, as the heads of the department, to reach that decision.
Louisiana's Democratic governor has signed a strict abortion ban into law prohibiting abortions once a fetal heartbeat's detected. Police reportedly at the scene of a shooting at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. No further details available. And this is USA Radio News.
Aspen Dental is giving away free dental care to thousands of veterans, and with more on that is Dr. Anita Imawandi, a director of clinical support and charitable giving. Thanks for coming on, Doctor. This is such a great program. Why do veterans, more than any other segment of the population, have the need for low-cost or free dental care?
Thank you for asking, and thanks for having me. You know, for our veterans, our nation veterans, what we know is that for many of them, they're not eligible for dental benefits through the Veterans Administration unless they're 100% disabled, have sustained a service-related injury to their mouth, or they were a prisoner of war. And so for our doctors at Aspen Dental, they wanted to do something about that, and that was in launching the Healthy Mouth Movement to help provide that necessary care for the veterans through programs like Day of Service. For more information, they can call 1-844-277-3646, or they can log on to healthymouthmovement.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
It's gonna be sliding. When you go to the feed for 2 seconds,
class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
So Marty and I are talking about education at the university level. Marty, are teachers quitting? Are they disgusted? And if they are disgusted, what are they disgusted with?
Well, I think one thing that disgusts some of my coworkers is our job goes far beyond that of just teaching. We've got to be on 1,000 committees. We've got to go outside of the school and do events to try to get more students in. I've done more science fairs and science demonstrations than you could count, and that's important. My boss even said, your greatest job right now is not teaching, it's increasing enrollment. And that's certainly not what I think of. My job, as far as, you know, keeping the college going, keeping it active, is doing good job teaching so that word gets around. rather than attending every event, and they want us to go to every, you know, peach festival to talk about our program, and it's just exhausting.
So are teachers quitting? Are they saying, that's it, I've had it, or are they sticking it out?
Yeah, some are quitting. But it's kind of like if you get tenure, which still exists in most places, get tenure, what they say is, I'm sorry, that means you're kind of stuck here for life.
Who says I'm sorry?
Your coworkers.
Oh.
Like, I'm sorry, now you got to stay here, and, you know, whatever they say is go. You know, you got to do whatever the latest thing is. So it goes way beyond just teaching. And that's
Do you find that teachers are burned out, frazzled, exhausted, and don't like their jobs? Because you've been in this field for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Decades. Do you feel that teachers are looking at the teaching position that they have now as drudgery as compared to before? Was it drudgery before? Or is it just drudgery now?
I don't think so. It just seems like when you get towards the end of a semester, the climate kind of changes. Everybody's kind of panicked. Wow, what do I need to do to pass or to get an A or this or that? It gets a little tense at the end for everybody. We've got lots of work, and they're all of a sudden realizing they're not meeting their own expectations. So that's always a little tough towards the end of the semester. But I think most people feel the same way about it, but you can get kind of burned out. It's a lot of work. And some of my students think, well, I'm not at work from 9 to 5. Some of my friends think, well, it must be some little part-time job. You know, you get home by 1 or 2 or something. It can't be too hard. But the work you do at home is far beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
That's mostly work outside of the lectures.
Yeah, it's kind of like broadcasting. Every day, I take a final exam. Every day that I'm on the air,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking a final exam. I've had to prepare for it. It's not like I just run into the studio at 9 o'clock. I watch the second hand, and I'm on the air. And 2 hours later, I'm done, and all I have to do is talk. And it's not like that. I have to prepare.
That's probably some people think that though.
Yeah.
You make it look too easy.
Well, Marty, I was thinking about hobbies. Do you think that your students have hobbies? Now, for example, you know some of the people, I won't mention them, that we went to school with, and we were involved in electronics, and we did a lot of extracurricular things that we'd be arrested for if anyone ever found out. But when I was at the university, we had these hobbies. Do you find that your students have hobbies? And I'm not saying that doing illegal things, but we were so interested in the challenge that we did things that were questionable. Do you find that students have hobbies today? Are they interested in anything?
My students are not like they're not typical college students as far as living on campus.
Mm-hmm.
My students have, like, two jobs and families and stuff, so they don't really have hobbies, I'm sure. And what really is sad for me is you're standing outside the class waiting for the next class to leave. Everybody's on the phone. Nobody looks up. Nobody talks to anybody. You and I would never have met because we'd both be on our phones talking to God knows who about what. You know, they're missing all that contact of meeting fellow students and establishing relationships and study groups and all kinds of stuff.
You said something very, very profound. Class, Marty Barrett is a very, very dear friend of mine, and I would not like to give up my friendship with Marty Barrett for a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do it. You know, looking backward and saying, which would you rather have, Vinny? Would you rather have a smartphone, or would you rather have a friend like Marty Barrett, someone who you can call and someone who calls you and you talk about all kinds of things for decades, like almost 5 decades, literally. You know that, right, Marty?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Almost 5 decades.
That's sad to say, yep.
It's been a long time.
It is.
I would not want to give that up. I got a chance to talk to Marty's husband, and we chat for a while, and Marty Mola talked to my wife, and it's all good. It's all wonderful. And if in class, if you can have a friend like Marty, if you have five friends like Marty in your entire life, you're doing really well. That's in my opinion.
I feel the same way. And to give that up, like I said, over a stupid smartphone or playing Candy Crush or some moronic thing that means nothing is it's sad.
Right. Marty, I was thinking, I was looking at, I get this these Feel Guilty magazines from the university, and they say, look at all these wonderful people who are smiling, and they gave all this money to the university, and here's what we're doing. And we have this program where you get this new offering where you can get your master's in business administration online. Now, here's my thought about that. I was actually in class for mine. Mm-hmm. I literally was in class, did all the things required. The classroom experiences and instruction with the teachers and instructors and professors and all that, papers and all that I had to do, I did. And now I was thinking about the interview, okay? So this guy or gal gets interviewed after getting their master's in business administration online from the same university that we attended. So the person conducting the interview says, tell me about your experiences. Now, what is the candidate to say? Well, I really actually, I don't have any experience, but I did read online. I read a lot, and I used my mouse, and I clicked on the, multiple choice answers that I thought were the best ones. So, yeah, I've done that.
Well, we have course now online. So you take the chemicals. You measure them out with your mouse, put them in together. They're not getting the excitement of acid burns or flash fires or anything. I don't want to hire a chemist who's never touched a chemical. I don't think it's the same.
Marty, we were in a huge chemistry lab, and I remember the sound of test tubes falling on the floor.
Yeah, yep. I saw an ether fire in organic chemistry lab where somebody had a flame going and the fire goes through the air following the gas. It's like a flame going across the room. It was pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But
Marty,
expensive, and that person never did that again.
Do you remember wearing goggles in chemistry class?
Oh,
do
yeah.
you remember having an apron, one of those rubberized aprons?
Yep. Yep,
okay, so we wore eye protection, we wore clothing protection, we wore these lab rubberized aprons that mm-hmm. would come up around your up to your neck.
All this was very fashionable too, My goggles, I always left deep grooves on either side of my eyes from mm-hmm. wearing these goggles for 2 hours or whatever.
And so. When people take these chemistry online tests, are they wearing these rubberized aprons and goggles?
No.
How about
they're
rubber gloves?
They're probably on their phone with one hand and their other hand's on the mouse.
Yeah.
And also, we don't do proper proctoring for online courses. Because, like the Chinese, they have things where they can scramble all other types of... Internet access in the area all around you. So there's no way you could look something up.
Mm-hmm.
We just assume, we're going to make it timed, so you won't have time to look up too much stuff. Oh, but they're fast. That doesn't work.
Right. We have a friend, an instructor, who has a cell phone scrambler. And it's really cool. I mean, it's this little device. It's about the size of a cell phone, and he could go into a restaurant and turn it on and sit and have a nice, normal dinner.
Does it knock out the internet for everybody there?
Well, it knocks out cell communication, but they're also jammers.
Cool.
And it's also jammers for the internet. I mean, it could knock out Wi-Fi as well. Absolutely.
But we're not allowed to do anything like that. That would be against their freedom.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid I would be in the dean's office trying to explain why I was trying to teach instead of proctoring a room full of people on their cell phones.
Yeah.
Marty, you and I were talking about something, and you have firsthand experience about this. You were explaining to me, and this is probably the largest preparedness classroom in the country that you and I are on right now, radio classroom. And you were telling me about your firsthand experiences with a hurricane when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to your family? And what would you share that? That was absolutely riveting. What it was really like in a catastrophic situation. What was the time period? And what was that hurricane called?
It was Hurricane Agnes. And what happened was it was the night before I was supposed to graduate from high school. So you might think of graduating from high school as kind of a pivotal event, but it really was for all of us because the flood was so bad, it destroyed anything of a lower level, like the whole downtown, the high school, all of our summer jobs were destroyed, everything. And we lived up on a hill, and so my dad went out front after the dike broke, and there were cars lining our street, just people just driving uphill. So we invited all kinds of people, and we had 35 people in our house, and we had a small rancher. And, of course, no power. So the people that got beds were like, there was one woman that just got out of the hospital with a broken hip. So she gets a bed. And at first we ate really well because my parents had a well-stocked freezer. You know, they geared up the barbecue grill and started cooking things. We had great food for, you know, a few days. And then not so much.
Was this an eye opener for everyone? What this was like?
Oh yeah, and the whole town is different now than it was before. Everything had to be rebuilt. We all had to work for the flood emergency network that summer.
Yeah. Okay. Hold that thought. Let's flesh this out when we come back. What was it like in detail, Marty Barrett?
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state. Until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Block it PickPocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockItPocket.com offers quality, American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockItPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockItPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Marty, we were talking about Hurricane Agnes in the early 1970s. 128 dead, 43,000 structures destroyed, 110,000 buildings impacted. I mean, it was really serious. So you lived on a hill, 35 people stayed in your house, no electricity. One person had a broken hip. You had a well-stocked freezer. What happened?
Well, it was rough at first because there were no amenities, and my job was to sleep in the kitchen floor. That was my spot. And I remember in the middle of the night, some kid, this kind of chubby kid we were taking care of there, he came out foraging for food, and we had to kind of ration out the food. And when it really ran out, the government flew over with helicopters and dropped down like rubber chickens and stuff. But I was a picky 18-year-old or 17-year-old, and it wasn't my thing. I think I lost a lot of weight because I wasn't going to eat a rubber chicken in a can. But most people did, and some people stayed at our house as long as a month before they went back to their trailers to see how, what kind of shape they were in. And we all worked for the Flood Emergency Network, and my job was to be a secretary, and I was a horrible typist. And I was so embarrassed, I didn't dare tell them. So I would take typing home and spend half the evening retyping things, trying to make it look like I did it all at work. Because that was the only jobs that were available. Mm-hmm. And it's just, the whole town looks different than how I remember it, because we headed off to college, and then they rebuilt things. And it just doesn't look like it looked before. So it was a really pivotal moment for everybody in my era.
Marty, when I believe I remember you telling me almost 50 years ago that you were standing in floodwaters helping people. Is my memory correct or not?
Yeah, we did the best we could. And what was really shocking was they knew little about how you should replace fluids when you're doing a lot of vigorous work in the summertime. So mm-hmm. what they did is they gave us a water bottle and salt tablets. That's mm-hmm. the best they knew about replacing electrolytes with salt tablets. And all I remember mm-hmm. is my mother telling me my whole life, don't eat too much salt. It's bad for you. Mm-hmm. And here I am gulping salt tablets. We could have used some Gatorade or something in those days. No such mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm. Marty, what was it like in the house? Who was in charge, and was it tough for that person to be in charge? Was it your dad? Did he say, look, I'm a dictator here. This is my house. If you want to be here, you're going to have to follow my rules. How did that work? Because that's how it would be here. If our home became like your home, I would absolutely, positively be a dictator. It'd be my way or the highway, and I'm not kidding. And I don't mean it to be mean, but that chubby little guy trying to steal food, he would learn his lesson pretty well.
Well, my dad wasn't like that. My dad was very, very mild-mannered. I can count on one hand the times I've seen my dad mad. Mm-hmm. He was really a gentle guy. So he didn't have to be authoritative. If he just said, that disappointed me, oh, that was a low blow. That was mm-hmm. crushing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother was kind of a dictator, and we were scared of her. But my dad just had to say he was disappointed in what we did, and we behaved.
But how did that work with all these people who you didn't know very well or know at all?
Yeah, it was strange. It was really strange. I mean, I slept through the whole flood. So I come out in my pajamas in the living room, and there's my a kid in my class sitting on my sofa, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of other people. What are they doing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of shocking. And the only upside for us 18-year-old girls was they brought in hundreds of National Guard guys to put on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that wasn't so bad, maybe, but... And no one in our town would be looters, I don't think, because everybody knew everybody. Your dad worked for their dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was a real issue with, but there were, you know, the town was so devastated that they brought in National Guard.
Do you think, knowing your students today, having a chance to spend time with them in class and maybe them asking you for guidance and you know, lending a personal touch to the education that you do. Do you think it would be different with today's mindset and today's skill set as compared with then, or would you think it would be the same?
Well, I was impressed. Last year, one of my students had a severe epileptic seizure in class, and she fell over on the girl next to her, and I was so impressed with my students because they moved everything out of the way instantly, cleared so an ambulance, you know, a stretcher could come through, and they really were really on target. I was really impressed with the way everybody, you know, bonded together and did what needed to be done. So maybe that's just kind of an instinctive thing that I hope remains.
I surely hope so as well. We had a similar instance at one of our Get Prepared Expo. A man collapsed, and we all rushed to his aid. And it worked so well. It really did. And it's mm-hmm. nice to see those moments, even in the worst of times, when the best of us comes out. And it really is nice. Marty, I want to thank you for spending your time today. I know that you've got a lot of things to do. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. And I'm looking forward to doing it again and again and again. Marty Barrett.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. See ya.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.